Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good evening. This is Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, NLT Radio. And the guest is just a few minutes late, but that's the way life happens. You just never know in life. So you just never know what's happening in life, and every once in a while life gets in the way of life. So that's just kind of what happens. And anyway, I'll take care of it until Bug gets here, and we'll go from there. I kind of unprepared, so we're just going to potpourri it. But one thing I'm going to talk to you about is how we become front runners. And what I mean by a front runner is we all want to look good and feel good in society, but when it comes down to doing the dirty work and then in the trenches and doing the stuff that's a little unsavory, we all step back. I know I'm guilty, and I caught myself at it here today, actually. And that's what this is really, really doing here, is really it's really a kind of an eye-opening thing when you think, and to save the day, here's Douglas. I want to welcome you to the show. Douglas Malloy is my guest. He's the author of Invading the Indigenous. And how are you tonight, Doug?
Good. How are you?
Perfect. Life is good. I get to talk with you, and we get to actually open people's eyes and expand their lives. And I really like Douglas because he's very astute, but he's also astute on some of the things that are going on that people don't understand that are going on. Anyway, Douglas, so with 2012 about here, and you know, they're saying the economy and everything's getting better, Douglas, but they're just hoodwinking it. So what do you see people can begin to do to expand their life, Douglas, and prepare for their own best journey?
Well, one is to simplify. The other is to work on being discerning. Don't believe everything that you hear. The simple fact is that after 8 years of George Bush Jr. in the White House, there is no recovery for the American economy. Money is on the way out. Credit is on the way out. From what I've been told, we are going to return to a cash-only society. One of the things to look at is a couple of things. One is bartering preceded money as a form of exchange. I have a suspicion that that's one of the things we're going to get back to is bartering. As far as 2012, the one thing to pay attention to is the return of the warlord God Jehovah of the Old Testament. Claims to be the one true God, but the thing is that Jehovah didn't create the universe, didn't create anything within the universe, and its entire point of reference is conquering, enslaving, and destroying. That's all it does, and it has been doing this for about 3 million years. And so if we're looking at 2012, the real question is that when does this entity of the Old Testament return? Because it is the reason why 2012 is an idea of what ends, and my contention is that what ends on this planet is the invader culture mindset and all that it entails. My argument is it's going to become extinct.
And if you're paying attention to it, I've been saying pretty much the same thing, because I see the fissuring of corporate America and getting back to individual innovation, but it's going to be simple innovation. And I agree with that. But, you know, if you look at since the beginning of the time, ever since history was recorded to me, all we've known how to do is be at war. We don't understand peace. And do you feel that's going to be the new realm, is peace and people learning how to communicate and talk to each other?
Basically, we're going to get back to how we were created to exist humanly. False doctrine is going to end. War, greed, class distinction is going to end. A lot of things are going to end because humanity is going to get back to living its design. And it's going to be a place in which there's going to be peace, there's going to be cooperation, there's going to be harmony. There are going to be those things that existed prior to the introduction of the invader culture, which, interesting enough, began when the warlord God Jehovah took possession of the Jews as his chosen people. The invader culture mindset began with the Jewish race, the Jewish people. They're not a race, but they're a people. And if you read the Old Testament, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, once Jehovah's covenant was established, one of the things that was very interesting about the Jewish people is they systematically annihilated every single group of people that weren't so-called the chosen people. And so it was a really interesting process because that is what the invader culture mindset basically, the invader culture mindset basically has systematically almost exterminated every indigenous people on the surface of this planet. And I offer the argument that indigenous people are the original design. That is how we were created to exist humanly, is indigenously. According to Edgar Cayce, seven root races were created at the same time, the Inuit being one, the Aborigines being two, the Native Americans of North America being three, the Native Americans of South America being four. Central America had a group, and then there were two others. And the interesting thing about information is that a lot of information that people believe in is nothing but propaganda and false doctrine. The interesting thing to me is that when you're looking at why something is going to change, it changes because it's no longer tenable. And when you look at the state of affairs on the surface of this planet as far as class distinction and money as the establishment of that, there isn't greater and lesser within the context of a medium that's infinite. There's only representation and how representation interacts. The simple fact of the matter is we are each other. There is no real difference between people. Money, however, differentiates people into those that have a lot, billionaires, and those that have nothing at all, people that live on the street and people that live in abject poverty. That is the flip side of a greed mentality. If you want to eliminate poverty, you have to eliminate greed. The simple fact is that we are only here to contribute to each other. It's the only thing of relevance. It's the only thing that has any meaning, and it's the only thing that evolves. So when we're looking at the idea of 2012, there's several things to think about. And John White wrote the book Pole Shift, in which he argues that the Earth is going to rotate on its axis about 22 degrees to realign with true north. There's also what Mary Summerrain wrote, in which the Earth is going to change its density from third density to fourth density, which is a positive-based density, according to Mary Summerrain. The Earth acts as a ground for all positive and negative emotions. And every negative emotion and every negative thought going back 25,000 years is going to be cleansed or healed or purged from the surface of the planet, according to her, through volcanic activity and salt water. If we look at the raw material talks about the return of the warlord God Jehovah. Rampa talks about the return of the warlord God Jehovah. Edgar Cayce talks about the return of the warlord God Jehovah. The book of Revelation talks about the return of the warlord God Jehovah. If you read the book of Revelation, in order to understand what returns to consume and destroy is what's referred to as the serpent. The serpent in the book of Revelation is the same exact entity that is written as Jehovah. There's also the Seth material that talks about the return of Jehovah to this planet as the ending of the world. The planet is not going to end. Humanity is not going to end. But those individuals, according to a source that I read in a book called The Secrets of the UFO, the name of the harvesting of souls is called Hetan, and only those that are positive, service-oriented people are going to remain to evolve the species until it collectively ascends.
You know, you just hit something very unique. This is something I just come up with. So you got two isms in the world. You got the pessimism and the optimism. Pessimism is I sell my soul to the corporations. The other one is the optimism is as I sell I serve mankind.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is that if a person wants to understand or know how service polarity works, take an individual who has a mindset of war and greed, and that's self-service, basically. Or if it's not within the context of war, it's within the context of competition. Competition and basically controlled manipulation. Within the context of serving others, you have examples like Zoroaster, Buddha. You have examples like Jesus, Mother Teresa, Marianne Williamson, and there are others that they are contributing their lives to others, not from the place of martyrdom or denial, but from the place of that they want to make a contribution to health, to help the health and welfare of others. There is a percentage breakdown for negative service polarity, which is 95% self and 5% others, which oddly enough, is that's how wealth works. 5% of the people on the planet own 95% of the wealth, which means that the other 5% is broken down between 95% of humanity. Serving others breaks down 49% self and 51% others.
And you said a lot of things very true there, but you said something way back, and it was something about how people follow things in a certain way. But, you know, here's the thing. We're going into election year with the same people, basically, that's been around for 30 years, saying the same things, and people think we actually are going in a new way. And that is that's an invader culture mindset, because you're looking at the same people doing the same thing but expecting different results. That's insanity.
Well, that's basically what you have is that, you know, you look at the political process, and the political process really hasn't changed. If you look at just the political makeup, that began this country, you know, 235 years ago, it was white male Protestants basically made up the bulk of people in the political process, and that hasn't changed. You have the same political type in the arena now, and that's basically what you have. So the interesting thing to me is that unless you change the scientific community, unless you change the religious community, unless you change education, business, politics, the legal profession, and medicine, nothing is going to change, because those seven institutions are here specifically. Those institutions are specifically designed and intended to maintain the invader culture mindset. They are the Magnificent Seven, specifically of the invader culture mindset. And what people don't realize is that the only reason why you have these institutions is to make sure of one thing, that people don't come to an understanding of what human beingness is according to its design. Because once the warlord God Jehovah took possession, it has systematically removed everything. There is not even in print anywhere on the planet, with the exception of my work, the name of the creator according to what it is, and the name of the Father, which brought us to life according to what it is. It simply doesn't exist, so people don't know. The interesting thing is that when you're looking at what's going on, is that if you look at every single culture since money was introduced, going all the way back to the beginning of money as a form of exchange, every single country that has involved itself with money as a form of exchange has crashed and burned. And I don't care what the country is. You look at the Roman Empire, crashed and burned. You look at Spain, crashed and burned. You look at Portugal, crashed and burned. You look at France, crashed and burned. You look at England, crashed and burned. You look at the Soviet Union, crashed and burned. And now the United States is right at the brink of economic collapse. In 1992, I came across an article that simply stated that if the United States follows the Soviet Union by getting involved in a prolonged war that lasts 8 years or longer, it will go exactly the same route as the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union collapsed because it went into Afghanistan, and it was in Afghanistan for 8 years. The United States has done exactly the same thing with not only Afghanistan but Iraq. And the simple fact of the matter is the heyday of war and social conflict is coming to an end, and more than likely it will come to an end by the end of next year. There are two things that are probably going to happen that people are not prepared for. Electricity and oil are going to cease to be energy sources, which means we are going to get back to how it was before the introduction to electricity and the and the production of oil. So it will be really interesting to see of all of the different sources that I have read and some of the stuff that I write about, to see what, if anything, will come into play next year, because it is possible that the idea of the changes that are going to take place isn't going to happen for 2012 years after the time that Jesus left. So it's to me, it's just an interesting thing. I've had the year 2012 on my brain ever since I was 14 years old. I started thinking about 2012 in 1970, and it's been on my mind every year since then.
You was talking in there. There's some a lot of stuff, but if you look, and I mean, if you really pull back the wool off your eyes and look at it for real. The only difference between the United States, Spain, and Greece is one starts with a U, the other one starts with a G, and the other one starts with an S. We're a very, very broke country, but we have no way out of it, Douglas, until people do and follow what you're saying, because really bartering is that. That's just individual innovation and people having to get off of the welfare rolls and the greed of the country and understand that the world is a people business. It's people talking to people and communicating with people. You said a lot of important and eye-opening things there, but the one thing I can see happening is people are going to have to fissure that egotistical arrogance and understand it isn't the wealth that people had, it have, it's the wisdom people encompass that will move the world forward. How do you feel about that?
Well, it goes back to, if a person reads the Old Testament, the Old Testament is based upon fear, judgment, and persecution. So Jesus taught love, forgiveness, and doing unto others to end fear, judgment, and persecution. And one school of thought, one stipulation, one statement that I read was that we were given 2,000 years to end fear, judgment, and persecution and all that that entails, and adopt love, forgiveness, and doing unto others as a social way of life. And obviously, we haven't done that. So the idea is that it's going to be done for us. And so one of the things that we get to look forward to in the context of our life and times is we get to see those things that are going to end. I was told way back in 1984 that oil was going to be withdrawn. And when I asked what did they mean, and this was a channeled source, it was with Chancellor Layette, said, oil is man's ability to understand. And so another source that I read said that the spiritual protection that has been bestowed upon man for basically 75,000 years is going to be withdrawn because the powers that be have decided that the only way that people are going to get it together and get their act together is they have to be left to their own ignorance, arrogance, and that type of thing. So next year is going to prove to be something very, very interesting because it's very, very possible. It's very, very possible within the context of life as we know it that the parameters are going to change in a way because the simple fact is this. If an individual looks up in the sky, one of the things that they're going to see is asteroids. The only reason why an asteroid exists is because it's the space debris of planets that have been blown apart by devices that are more powerful than the nuclear weapons we have right now. We're at the cusp right now of making explosive devices that are so powerful that they can blow the planet apart. This is something that is a concern to the powers that be. It's the same thing with the so-called idea of nuclear war. According to Ramtha, there are agencies in place that will not allow us to use nuclear weapons against each other. It has been decided by the powers that be involving and governing this planet, and yes, there is a governing agency to this planet, just as there is a governing agency to the solar system, the galaxy, Milky Way galaxy, and so on. And so one of the things that we are going to see take place, one of the things that we are going to see happen is that humanity is going to get back to living its design. And we were originally created to live harmoniously amongst each other. There are things that are going to have to end in order for us to evolve as the collective we are. We are a collective within the context of our composition. We are a collective within the context of humanity as a whole. And there's the collective of the universe and so on. And what we are going to find is that we are going to get back to what works within the context of the process. If we take one simple idea, which is in the Bible as good versus evil, there's no such thing. There is no such thing. You show me an individual who is living love and light as wisdom and understanding, and I will show you an individual who is not in conflict with anyone or anything. So the idea of good versus evil only works from the person who is in conflict with themselves through unresolved fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial, which necessitates the individual of going to war with everyone and everything. That's the general idea of good versus evil. The individual who is negatively service polarized is good and everything is evil, and that's what you see within the context of the ideology of the Jews beginning the invader culture mindset and then within the context of Hitler fulfilling the prophecy of that continuation. And Hitler was living according to the same psychology and ideology that the original Jews had going back 2,000 years or 2,500 years and that type of thing. And the simple idea was we are the superior race. We are God's chosen people. We have the right to do to annihilate everyone. And Hitler did exactly the same thing within the context of Germany. He was simply going about conquering and enslaving and destroying. The idea was all of Europe and then eventually all of the planet. But Hitler wasn't successful.
Well, yeah, Hitler just hit a bigger war machine. But if Hitler, you know, if Hitler wouldn't have been so egotistically arrogant and used a little common sense, it could have been a different deal. But that's the way the whole, you know, if you look at Hitler, that's the way a lot of leaders get. They're looking for respect and love, but they don't know how to find it. But Hitler, he just got too arrogant. But if you see, you know, to me, history, Douglas, history is not taught to teach us. History is taught to control us. And so we stay in that invader, that war mindset. Because I did a hypnosis the other day, And that was the outcome. The person loved war more than anything else.
Right. Well, there's a real, you know, you look at Alexander the Great, you look at Genghis Khan, you run through Patton, followed the same thing, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, the list goes on and on and on. You have these individuals who are ruthless. You have these individuals who all they care about is conquest. And that's the whole thing. It's conquest. And, you know, the conquest as a philosophy or point of reference was introduced to this planet through the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And if people simply understood that one thing, they would probably change their tune, because the one true God is worshipped by 1 billion Muslims, 2 billion Christians, and then the Jews worship, they all worship the one true God. And so you have three religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, that all have as the basis of their idea of God as this warlord God that conquers, enslaves, and destroys through hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, and good versus evil. The simple fact of the matter is that within the composition of a design, and the universe is a composed design, you have equality, balance, relationship, purpose, and harmony. That's the state of the fact. If an individual stands in a natural environment, there's three things that they will feel. One is stillness, the next is peace, and the next is harmony. If we put that within the context of a human being, stillness within the heart, peace as the body, harmony as the head, and then there's cooperation and there's contribution. The only thing that takes place within the composition of the universe is diversification as infinity, and then unification, which can be thought of as ascension or cooperation or the connected integration of collective consciousness. The names don't mean that much. What is the important thing is, how do people relate to each other as each other? If there was one idea that people could come away with that would be successful of harmonizing people, is the Christ does not mean an individual. The Christ means the collective consciousness of humanity living an ideal that is self-sustaining, self-regenerative, and self-perpetuating.
And that's true. And Douglas Malloy, he's the author of Invading the Indigenous. And the book is available on Amazon.com and also at Inner Circle Publishing. .com, and you can go there. And if you want to expand your life and live a better life, you've been listening to Doug now for about 28 minutes and you've had your life expanded. So get the book, Invading the Indigenous, and expand your life. But anyway, Douglas, it's going to come down to us letting go of thinking. It's really called busting loose of the money game, is what we're really going to bust loose from.
Here's the tidbit for you. Buddha,
yes,
walked away from royalty and wealth, and he became conscious and enlightened because of that. Every single human being is responsible for doing exactly the same thing, walking away from untenables, actualizing and demonstrating what is real and true humanly. That's the significance of Buddha. Jesus was an extension and expansion of that, teaching love, forgiveness, and doing unto others. As long as people refuse to do that, guess what? We are simply going to go and go and go until that point that our hand is going to be forced because we're not doing it. The only reason why there are channeled sources of information on this planet is because the concern of the Confederation of Planets, which is composed of 500 different planetary organizations, is that if they didn't do this, there would not be enough people to justify a harvest. Get this, folks. Not enough people to warrant a harvest out of 7 billion people. And there is a concern, there's a very strong possibility that when this process ends, when this process changes, there is going to be less than 2 million people left behind to begin the evolutionary process of collective ascension. And that's a very strong possibility out of 7 billion people.
Well, you know, and I understand that, and you know, featuring the ingrained patterns that we all live, there is going to be some unsavory circumstances come forth because people It seems like egotistical arrogance only seizures with humility.
Yeah, well, we have to get back to the basics. And as long as we don't get back to the basics, what we see is, and what we have is we have life as we know it and that kind of stuff. You know, and the simple fact of the matter is that we have been given thousands of years to change how we conduct our affairs, and we simply have refused to do that. And because we have refused to do that, it's like life is going to evolve beyond us, because the simple fact of the matter is that life doesn't work how most of humanity lives. It simply doesn't. There's a reason why there were indigenous people. There's a reason why the invader culture operates, and then there's the arbitrariness of the rest of humanity. And the simple fact is that choice is the only thing that we make, and there's only one choice that a person makes in their entire existence, and that's service polarity. And the choice comes down to positive or negative energy. And positive and negative energy only exists so that a person will choose. And once the choices have been made, then everything takes care of itself from that point. And I'm of the opinion that the only reason why bad things happen to good people is because they haven't made up their mind about being positive or negative, and they haven't done their homework, and they haven't worked through stuff. And the simple fact is that all we do is know the self, serve others, and aspire to collectively ascend. That's the only reason why we exist within the context of our love and light. And how collective ascension works is the mass and magnitude of love and light doubles by every individual that joins a given group. And when you get one person added to 5 million and the mass and magnitude of the 5 million doubles, guess what? Then you've got something that's pretty powerful. It's part of the reason why individualization and egocentricity is the predominant here, because the negative knows that when people get together from a perspective of love and light, there is nothing that can destroy it, there is nothing that can touch it, and there is only peace and harmony within the context of that organism or state of existence.
And with that, Douglas, the show has come to an end. I really want to thank you. We'll have you back probably in first part of February so we can continue this, because what you're saying is an absolute positive ending outcome for everybody. And I really appreciate being here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for inviting me to be here. And that's the other thing is that the Earth is changing its density from third density to fourth density. Energy is going to be positive-based probably for the rest of the planet's existence. It's not going to go to a positive negative. It's simply going to continue on like Venus and Mars. If you look at Venus and Mars, Mars is red and negative. Venus is light, because the entities that evolved there literally ascended. And Venus, believe it or not, is the brightest thing in the night sky because of its positive nature. And Mars is a negative evolved planet. And Venus was a positive planet, and there were organizations. One is that there was a race that evolved in a negative context on Mars, and there was a race that evolved in a positive context in Venus. And the difference is, you can see the love, and you can see the brilliance of the love and the light that is there, because it's the brightest thing in the night sky, Venus.
Well, with that wisdom, Douglas, I want to thank you. And Douglas's book is available, The Evading of the Indigenous, at innercirclepublishing.com. And Chad is a good publisher, and also it's available on Amazon.com. And I want to wish you a happy new year, Doug.
All right. Douglas? Well, happy new year to you. And just let me know when you want to do it again, and we'll do it again.
we could probably talk for a couple hours and not even wait and keep it going. Anyway, thank you, Douglas, and we'll see you later. And I really appreciate it. I'll get you the download and email it to you tomorrow.
Hey, that sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a plan.
All righty.
We'll see you later. Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year
Bye.
To you, too. Good night.
All righty. Bye.